Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's Monday, December 5th, 2022. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 47, first paragraph, "When therefore we speak to you of God," ending, "So we used our own conception, however limited it was." Today's readers are Juanis N., Debbie P., Reggie O., Shelley E., and Eileen M. The reference numbers for Sunday, December 4th, is 19,704. That's 19704. And for this morning, December 5th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,707. That's 19707. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Juanis N. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanis N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Juanis N. I will now ask Debbie P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Debbie P. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you all for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 47, the first paragraph, when therefore we speak to you of God, ending, so we used our own conception, however limited it was. I'll now ask Reggie O. to begin reading.
Thank you, Dawn, and good morning, everybody. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered and living in just outside San Antonio, Texas today. When, therefore, we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. This applies, too, to other spiritual expressions which you find in this book. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. At the start, this was all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to affect our first conscious relation with God as we understood Him. After we found ourselves accepting many things which then seemed entirely out of reach, that was growth. But if we wished to grow, we had to begin somewhere. So we used our own conception, however limited it was. I love that, your own conception. We used our own conception. That's how we began. You know, when I came into program in 1985 and I went to my first meeting, there was no mention of God or the 12 steps, but I heard an amazing story of recovery. In the second meeting I went to, I heard of God. I heard God and I heard Him. I don't want to turn around and go and just run out the door, because my conception of God at that time was not anything that I wanted to be around or have in my life. Unfortunately, that has changed greatly for me, especially learning your own conception. You know, sometimes the word God turns people off because of backgrounds and, you know, the way that they've grown up and what they know about that. But this says your own conception, your own language, what you call God. And, you know, this is a spiritual program. And so this God or higher power, it's something that we get to determine no matter how simple we start off, but the entire book is really about that conception and turning our will and our lives over and keeping that first and foremost in our lives, because that is where the recovery comes from. And that's certainly what I have found to be true for me over the years. I was listening to a meeting once, and it was four years ago, and we were reading this paragraph, and I thought, don't let other spiritual expressions deter you. So I went through the book, and I highlighted everything in green that was a spiritual expression or that was a word for God. And my goodness, there are, I don't know how many, but I have pages and pages of green. You know, even these two pages, a power beyond ourselves, the supreme being, that power which is God, creative intelligence, spirit of the universe, realm of spirit, you know, and you can just go on and on and on. Or you may choose something, you know, that's not any of these things. but it is a power greater than me. And if I didn't have a power greater than myself, I'd be in big trouble, you know, because I tried myself of my own will for so many, you know, so many years, and it just never worked. And the God idea does, and it grows, you know, it's something that we grow. And that's the purpose of the 12 steps, really, is to, well, but before I say this, I will say there's a few pages later in the book, it says, and where are we to find this God or this higher power? And it says we find the great reality deep down within us. So it's pretty interesting. We don't have to go very far to find this power, but it's been cluttered up by so many things. And that's what the steps are for, is to help declutter, clear out that channel we have to the great reality, God, higher power, whatever that is that lives within each of us, so that we can have access to that power in all things and continually grow and enlarge and expand that access. And it really is just such a beautiful way to live, you know, that it's not about me, and it's about the 12 steps and turning our will and our lives over to this wonderful higher power. And I'll pass with that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Reggie O, for getting us started. I will now take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Adrian M.
Adrian M.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Natalie S.
Natalie S.
S as in Sam.
Very good. Got it. Thank you.
Sylvia F.
Was that Sylvia?
Yes.
Sylvia F.
Christine
S. Christine S. Okay, we'll stop there. Okay, I have Eileen M., Adrian M., Kathleen O., Natalie S., Sylvia S., and Christine S. Eileen M., please get us started and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. I was thinking back to, when I received the gift of desperation, that helped me to act as if. You know, people on the line last week were talking about acting as if, and that was really helpful to me. And, you know, I thought about, you know, my sponsor, the first sponsor I had in Vision for You actually told me that, you know, or invited me to define God as whatever I wanted, because, you know, it was interesting. She had a completely different concept of God than I do. And, you know, what was amazing was that was no obstacle to us working together. You know, I just followed the directions that she, you know, as she recommended, and it worked, and I recovered. And she did not try to force her, you know, view. She's very religious, you know, she did not try to force that on me. And that was, there's just such freedom in that, in being able to define whatever the power means to you. And, you know, it uses the word prejudice in this paragraph. And, you know, my understanding of prejudice is it's defined on page 568 of this book, where it says contempt prior to investigation. And when I think of prejudice, I always think of those words, is that, you know, you not investigating it, thinking that, oh, that won't work for me. But how about, you know, did you ever try it? You know, and it's just, I don't know, there's just such power in that statement of all you need is a willingness to believe that something greater than you can restore you to sanity. I mean, that's so powerful. And I don't know, you know, today I believe that, you know, we're all manifestations of the higher power. We're always connected to it. You know, there's no separation. We're always connected. And I'm just so grateful to have that freedom of, you know, defining higher power, you know, exactly the way, you know, what would work for me? And that's what she said, is she said, find something that works for you. And, you know, somebody could have a tree as their higher power, or, you know, a rock or something. I mean, that's just, there's such freedom in that. And I'm very grateful. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Adrian M., followed by Kathleen O. Star 1, Adrian M.
There we go. Hi, this is Adrian M., a real compulsive overeater out of Florida. This just speaks to me through the program, through working the steps, through being open and using the set-aside prayer about what I think I know about God. I'm having a spiritual awakening. I wake up in the day and I can define a new God every day. That's what I kind of do in my step two. What do I need my God to be today to walk me through what's making my life unmanageable? And I can surrender it all to God. I put it in my God can. And then I act as if and go on through my day. And it's amazing at the end of the day how I can look at how God has shown up through God, through skin, through the literature, through this, the miracles that has shown up in my life, because I have been open. And I, over time, I have found myself accepting many things which I have been closed to through listening to others during those outreach calls, through my God squad saying, consider this. This has worked for me. And because I'm becoming more accepting, my spiritual experience is growing. And it is amazing how it is affecting my program, the quality of the steps, the quality of my serenity, just my whole being. My relationship with God is improving all the time. And for that, I'm grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Adrian M. from Florida. Kathleen O., please share with us, followed by Natalie S.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. Happy Monday, everybody. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. When we speak of God, we mean your own conception of God. And this sentence really helped me find the power, with a capital P, that would solve my problem. My problem with food and my problem with life. Do not let any prejudice deter you. If we wish to grow, and for me that was if I wish to solve my problems, we had to begin somewhere, so we used our own conception. And you know, without these words in this book, if all I heard in this book was God, this would not have worked for me. This choosing our own conception, it's a very broad hood, because without knowledge, we just don't know. And I just kept it simple. I didn't want to shoot myself in the foot by leaving before I found the miracle. So acting as if and knowing it was better to believe and find out there wasn't a God than not to believe and find out there was one was really helpful to me. Because my conception of God, it wasn't good when I came in, because the only conception I had was the God I was taught as a child, and that God never worked for me. So to find my own God on my own terms was so much better. And my conception of God is basically truth, love, good, and beauty. You know, I like to do walking meditation in the morning because I live in the Sierra foothills, so I'm always in nature. And bears, bobcats, deer, and occasional mountain lion are always cruising through my neighborhood. And except for the deer, they're usually only visible on motion detectors that get, are recorded at night. But the other day on my morning walk, I passed this huge buck with these massive antlers, and he was only about 20 feet away. He was gorgeous, still as a statue, and just staring intently at me. And I could feel the power and the beauty in that deer. So nature really works well for me. We have to be willing to start somewhere. Make a beginning and keep it simple. We get to decide what that power in step two is in our lives. It can be God, the universe, Mother Nature, Supreme Being, or anything greater than ourselves. You know, we even have an OA meeting, which is called Choose Your Own Conception. And there's so much help out there to get you started, but it's important not to let any prejudice deter you. Your own conception of God can be limited. It just needs to make sense to you. and we're very inclusive regarding spirituality relating to recovery and our common solution. So surrender as much of yourself as you can to as much of God that you understand. Having a willingness to believe is going to get results, because this is a practical program of action and it works, but we have to start with believing in a power greater than ourselves. And I know my experience is the longer I'm in this program, the more my understanding of God increases. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. from California. Natalie S., please share with us, followed by Sylvia S. Star
I'm
one,
sorry,
Natalie.
Oh,
Natalie,
yeah.
Hi. Sure.
Yeah, this is Natalie. So one of the things, I am from Arizona. I am new to the program, and I have completed step one, so I consider myself a recovering restrictor and over-exerciser. And one of the things that this passage is, or this excerpt is telling me, or God's revealing to me, is that, well, let me start with this. Sometimes I struggle in wanting to give up control of my life to a higher power, or in my case, my God. And one of the things that I'm learning is that as a human being, I desire a higher power. I want somebody or something to help me manage. And in the past, it's been my exercise or my restriction or all of these, what I call false gods. And that my choice in the morning now is to either choose this quiet, loving, but very powerful God, or to choose the God of kind of deception and false power and false control, because I see now where the behavior doesn't really lead to the outcome that I thought it had originally promised. And so that's really all I wanted to share. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Natalie S. from Arizona. Sylvia S., please share with us, followed by Christine S. And before Sylvia shares, if you're just joining us, please know that we're on page 47, the first paragraph, when therefore we speak to you of God, ending, so we used our own conception, however limited it was. And after Sylvia and Christine, I'll be opening up the line to take more names. Go ahead, Sylvia, please share with us.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Sylvia S., recovered in Portland. It doesn't roll off my tongue yet. I am so happy to be here. I haven't been on the meetings, but I have been working my program. And I just want to say one thing about the miracle of this fellowship, is that I started with this fellowship at its first meeting many years ago, and then moved over to the West Coast too. And the miracle is that you are all still here, whether I have been here or not. And I thank you all for your service and your commitment. I'm coming back from relapse, and it's been almost 1 year back from relapse, and I'm very grateful for that too. But this paragraph is this whole section is a very important part of my recovery. And when I first started, and I had to find God, I was not born in a Christian family. And that word was like fingernails on a chalkboard. It was hard. And so my first conception, I literally called it not me. That's all I had to know. It was not me. And that, of course, has grown. And what it feels like now is the first time where I had kind of the spiritual experience, I realized I was walking out in nature, and I thought, and I was so overwhelmed in a good way, just spiritually lifted, that I thought, oh, nature is my God. And that's when I really started to realize that it was a feeling. It wasn't a thing. It was a feeling. So now I use the word God because it's most expedient, but it isn't a thing. It is a feeling. And the feeling is of getting me out of myself. And especially like when I'm doing the third step prayer in the morning, if I'm just mouthing, you know, getting myself out of self, it won't help. But if I really pay attention to what is God or the universe or nature's will for me, who would God have me be? What would God have me do? I get out of self, and it can work anytime, anywhere. And so so the relief that I get when I have that feeling of I need something or I'm upset with something, things aren't going my way, if I can give up that feeling of what do I want, but what would God have me do, who would God have me be, which is the bigger question, I can let go of all of those emotions and restrictions and things that have me tied up, and it is relief. Relief keeps me out of the food. It's so simple. It feels more complicated than it is, but it was, and I can see my time's up. I can finally connect the dots of if I work this program, I'm not trying to medicate my heart, my brain, and my soul. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Sylvia S. from Oregon. Christine S., please share with us.
Hi, thank you. Christine S. from Los Angeles, compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here today with everybody. I love this passage. I love this whole We Agnostics. It's so perfect that we're reading it because I've definitely been struggling with my higher power. And this passage for sure, you know, reminds me of the set-aside prayer. I am working on step 12 with my sponsor, and I'm still struggling with my higher power. Throughout my 2 years and 2 months in the program, my higher power has been hope, it's been grace, it's been nature, it's been art, it's been, you know, I've tried to call it all of these things, but I'm powerless over my disease, which also means I'm powerless over my thinking and my ego in terms of trust and turning over my life to something greater than myself. And so saying the set-aside prayer every morning, like my, you know, sponsor asks, is helping me to, you know, to just learn to set aside everything I think I know. And, you know, one of the things I keep hearing over and over in meetings is, you know, I'm not God, and I need to continue to remember that, and I should add that to the set-aside prayer too. But, you know, I need to continue to remember that and to, you know, yeah, well, this passage is just, you know, the idea of your own conception of God. My diseased mind, you know, is questioning, well, you know, but I have this disease. I can't control my thinking. How am I supposed to, you know, conceive of my own higher power? And so self-knowledge avails us nothing. You know, that's why I'm here. That's why, you know, I come to Vision. That's why I go to meetings and I talk to fellows, you know, to get out of my own head. And, you know, and from the beginning, you know, it was the fellows, it was the programs that was my higher power, because I knew that that was a way of getting out of my own head and, you know, and trusting something when I have a hard time trusting. That's why I've had such a hard time, period, is, you know, throughout my life, my disease and being a compulsive overeater, my trust in so many things, so many people has been lost. And so this program is helping me to learn to trust not only a higher power, but to trust everybody and everything. And so I know that's why I am having a bit of a hard time, but I also have hope and faith in this program and, you know, and in the fellows that, and in myself, that, you know, my inner wisdom and my inner being and my intuition, where my higher power resides, that I will, you know, that I'll continue to have, you know, these educational spiritual awakenings that I've been having. And I, you know, it's thankfully to the big book and to all of you. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Christine S. from California. I'm now going to take more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on the paragraph on page 47, that first paragraph there? Go ahead.
Dolores, Arizona.
Dolores?
Joe M. from Minnesota.
Joe M.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. And who is the gentleman?
Tom L. from California.
Tom L. Okay. Let's go ahead. I have Dolores, Joe M., Deborah G., and Tom L. Go ahead, Dolores. Please share with us. Give me your initial and where you're calling from. Star 1, Dolores. Okay, perhaps Dolores had to step away. Joe M., are you available to share? Go ahead, Joe. May I be
yes,
heard?
Hi. Can,
oh, go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I sure can. Go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Don, for your service. My name is Joe, and I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. That is so important for me. That has been so, it's been vital for me, critical for me in this recovery journey. I did not develop a concept of a power greater than myself until about a year. It was more than a year after I had done my amends. So I was just proceeding through the process, not giving anything a name, but just because I had nowhere else to go and was going through the process, and I had an experience in step 9, and it was about more than a year after that I started piecing together a concept based on my experience, and that was just really helpful to me. And I also I really love that that I get to honestly ask myself what they mean to me, because I have a unique experience of my own active compulsive overeating, as do we all. And I need an experience of recovery that's going to work for me. And my concept of a power greater than myself can be different than someone else's concept. What works for me might not work for somebody else, but I had to find a concept that was going to work for me. And I came in here with a lot of internal turmoil and conflict inside. And I knew that I could not adopt a concept of a power greater than myself that was just going to cause more internal conflict. I knew that I could not believe in a God that could have intervened in my early life and prevented my trauma, but did not intervene. I could not believe in a God like that. So I had to come to believe in a God that has no power over physical things at all, but only has power in my inside, that it's an energy rather than a physical force. And that way I have no conflict between my own experience of a power greater than myself, which is good and loving and generous and kind and tolerant and open, and all the physical realities that go on in the world. There's no conflict between those two things, because for me, in some ways they're not related to each other. In other ways, they are. So I can bring this good energy out into the world, and I can make it manifest in the material world, but I don't have an inner conflict around it. And I'm so very grateful that we have the room for that in this program. Thank you, all, Pat.
Thank you, Joe M. from Minnesota. Dolores, are you back on the line, and would you like to share?
Hi, this is Dolores. I'm so sorry. I was so excited to talk about God that I pushed the red button on my phone, which is to hang up. Anyway, I'm a grateful recovering overeater from Arizona. And, you know, when I first came into the program years ago, I remember thinking the idea of God was such a bore that, like, all the fun would be completely drained out of my life if I, you know, if I had God in my life. And of course, it's been, you know, completely different experience for me. You know, when I work with people and the program and for myself too, you know, the book talks about also about, you know, laying aside our prejudice. So that's one of the first things that, you know, it's important for me, is like, what is my prejudice first, and then laying that aside. But, you know, for me personally, you know, I have followed what Bill has said. You know, he said we had to find a God personal to us. And I think that everyone's been talking about that. And it also says when we drew near to him, he revealed himself. So that's always been important for me, to my part of just, you know, I have to draw near to him. And then for me also, you know, Bill talks about we were catapulted in the fourth dimension. And that's my experience, too. It is another dimension for me. And my relationship with God is the most important thing in my life today. And I've had so many miracles. I mean, miracles that I hold in my brain and I go, God is so real. You can trust him because of that. So anyway, I wanted to share that. And I'm so grateful for this meeting. And thanks for listening this morning. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Dolores from Arizona. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Tom L.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Dawn. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you, Dawn, for your service, and everyone for making this meeting possible. And thank you all, my fellow spiritual brothers and sisters, for sharing all that you have shared. You have helped me so much to find that connection, to find that relationship and partnership. Going through the steps, those beautiful 12 steps, continually it's been a change every time. My concept seems to evolve every time. And then just my walk in life, my spiritual practice, I've, you know, tried different paths. There's so many things out there to explore and experience, and all of that benefited me for that experience, because I find today I can have a head experience. You know, I can read prayers and feel the prayers, and I love to take my hand and put it to my heart, or just focus on my heart when I do those prayers. And really take those prayers in, to have the experience of the prayer, to have the experience of the meditation. And this is so cool. I grew up raised Catholic, and I just couldn't grasp that growing up. It just was too out there. And it's interesting, today I went to the service of my mom, which recently she passed, which was Catholic. The service of my aunt following that a month later, which was Catholic. And it brought me back in a different way, because I was different. My relationship, my connection to power, to that divine loving presence was different. And I felt the peace of God at both those services. It was so beautiful. I love how this spiritual journey is. It's amazing. And I hope you all are having that same experience. And I'm going to continue to walk this way of living, because it's a beautiful way of life. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Tom L., please share with us, and then I'll take a couple more names.
Good morning, everyone. Tom L. from California. Perfect for me. Everything's working right now. Now I came in, didn't believe in God. And of course I didn't need to, because, what caught my eye in this program is that I found several men who had lost several hundred pounds and were very successful. In fact, obnoxiously successful. In all the areas of their life, I was several hundred pounds overweight, and I was a failure. And they just seemed to have something going on. They did mention God, but they were alcoholics, and they were like, you know, really, you don't have to, you know, don't be challenged by that. Just do what we say. Now, of course, that's also a miracle. You know, ask me to believe in God is one thing, but to have me do what you say, that's something else. But we have a phrase that I is very treasured, which is alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they commence to solve their problems. I didn't have to be mangled. I had to be badly mangled. And I know some of your stories, and I know you were through the ringer. We've been through the ringer, not the nip, but all the way through. So I've been pretty badly mangled, and I was willing to follow direction. And so began 20 years ago my journey with this higher power thing. I had great success physically and financially. You know, I was able to get a job. I'd been disabled for many years. I met and married someone in this program, and that has its ups and downs, but I'm still married. This is impossible. All these things are impossible without this program. But about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I drifted away and was in relapse. Not as bad as my crazy youth, but pretty freaking bad. And during that time, I had a concept of a higher power that just would not leave me alone. And I would talk to this power, knowing it was probably an imaginary the power. And I would apologize, saying, I'm sorry I'm rebelling right now in year three, you know, feeling like crap, not being successful at anything, gaining weight, feeling sick, not being able to go back to OA. And I would talk to this higher power. And then the mangling got so bad that I surrendered again. I followed direction. And here's this power again saying, do you want an experience with me? And I don't even know if it's conscious, but I do know that it affects my thoughts very, very strongly. And 16 months after coming out of relapse, I'm fine. But who's in charge, me or this higher power? That's my daily question. And I love hearing it on this meeting and living it. Hope you're well. Bye.
Thank you so much, Tom L. from California. And I'm now going to take a couple names of people who would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on page 47, that first paragraph?
Polly Q.
Polly Q. And one more name?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, Polly Q, please go ahead and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, moderator. Thank you for your service. I'm Polly Q. I'm calling from Northern California. Recovered. I related so much to the previous speaker as well. I have similar experience. And after years and years and years and years in the program. And so the part of this paragraph that speaks to me is that that was growth. But if we wish to grow, we had to begin somewhere. So we used our own conception, however limited it was. I will say, especially this week, something happened to me where I realized, wow, my conception of God is very limited. My conception of my higher power is very limited. Even though it is leaps and bounds from where it was when I started. But my conception is very limited. And every day I wake up agnostic. No question about it. I do. I read this chapter differently and I read it differently with sponsees than I ever used to. Because this is the crux of the matter. You know, I wake up agnostic. Now, I might have a pretty picture of a higher power and I might be able to describe that picture. But it's like it's been said here. Who's in charge today? And I am all self-reliant. And this is my Achilles heel. And it will always be my Achilles heel. I want to be in charge. Now, I'll talk a good game, but that's what I want. And so I have to every day hang out with God more and more and more. I have to seek God out in different ways. I have to work steps again and again. I have to really want this thing. I have to really want to grow with this thing because I'm an addict of the hopeless variety. And if I don't, my ego will take me in the other direction. It is just inevitable. And I only know this because I know it. I've experienced it. So this is a big time chapter for me. And it used to not be that big a deal because, you know, of course, I believe in God. Come on now. You know, but no, no. Believing and living it are two different things. And I'm so grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Polly Q from California. Jordan L., please share with us.
Hey, thanks for moderating for us this morning, Dawn. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. This paragraph is so important to me. This bit about prejudice, not letting any prejudice you may have, and for me, that includes prejudice that other people have too, that they kind of comes out sideways. Not letting that deter you from asking yourself what it is that these spiritual terms mean to you. I found my first conception of a higher power in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, or at least like my first adult conception of a higher power. I have vague memories of like a little kid who thought that this concept of a higher power was pretty cool, but I found my first adult conception in a meeting, and it was the same thing that one of the previous speakers was talking about. It was a feeling, like I literally felt it in my skin, and it was sort of like this tingling feeling of like a higher power has got you. You know, like you're being looked after. I'm gonna go ahead and pass.
Dawn, press star one. You're muted.
Oh, thank you so much. Sorry. Jordan L., sorry about that interruption. We do have about a one-minute share if somebody would like to take that. And if not, we'll go ahead and leave that time for newcomers.
Melinda.
Okay, I heard Melinda. And if I didn't hear you, please go ahead and take like a one-minute share.
Melinda, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Melinda, compulsive overeater, just wanted to claim my seat. Also to say that, commit, that I'm going to do some journaling and some praying and some meditating about why I won't ask for help, either from God or from other people. All I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melinda. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Of course. Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, my fellows. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you